The message you're about to hear was preached by Pastor and Evangelist Joe Arthur from Atlanta, Georgia. This message is entitled, A God Who Will Remember. We hope this message will be a real blessing to your heart as you listen.
A word to you young folks here. Learn how to play your instrument and learn how to sing and do some of that. I've been about soundtrack to death. Everywhere I go, soundtrack, soundtrack, soundtrack. And if that's all you got, that's all right. But man, learn the rudiments of music and learn to sing in harmony. I go in some of these churches and they got what I call Dr. John's 7-11 music. Seven words and they say it 11 times. As the deer, as the deer, as the deer, as the deer, as the deer. Just shoot the deer and sing a song. Amen. And that's so refreshing. A lot of times I go places to preach. I've had booked for a long time. I don't know the preacher. I don't know anything about them. They just got in the line and you work them in. And I go to a lot of places twice. My first and my last. And I pulled up in one the other day and I thought, well, I don't know about this. I just felt a little bit uncomfortable. And I kept on seeing these women in leotards. And I thought, Lord, I done got mixed up with a jazzercise outfit or something. But I just, went on about my business. I'm not the pastor, ain't none of my business. So I just went on about my business. And so the preacher said, right before Dr. Arthur comes to preach, we're going to have our interpretive dance team to come. And them women got up there in them leotards and them white gloves. Looked like Michael Jackson, to be honest with you. I don't know what it was. And they played a tape on It Is Well With My Soul, and then they done whatever they do. And I didn't know this meant peace like a river. I just didn't know that. And I declare, by the time they got through doing that, I wasn't in no mood to preach. I was in a mood to vomit. Somebody say amen right there. But praise God, I appreciate that good gospel singing tonight. And Dr. Sattler said three things about camp meeting before he died. Camp meeting is not a Bible conference. It's not a mission conference. It's not an evangelistic campaign. It's to stir up and encourage God's people. And Dr. Sattler said, if you're going to have a camp meeting, you got to have three things. Number one, you got to have camp meeting people. Well, you can't go to Michigan and have a camp meeting. I've been up there and tried, but they can't even say it. Camp meeting. No, it's camp meeting. Amen. They don't even know how to say hallelujah. They go, hallelujah. It's hallelujah. And you know anybody that spells maters with a T ain't got no education. You know that. And you got to have camp meeting people. Number two, you got to have camp meeting preaching. And then you got to have camp meeting singing. You can't have a camp meeting with the sevenfold doxology and a nine-page cantata. Camp meeting singing is by letter. You open your mouth, let her rip. Amen. And I'm glad tonight to be in this camp meeting. Psalm 25 in your Bible. I've had a good time, and I've enjoyed the blessings of God. I don't do any week-long meetings anymore, but I've enjoyed this one. And I'm glad to be able to be here tonight. I appreciate the pastors that called off their service and came over here. I'll moderate the Greer Baptist camp meeting since Brother Billy died. And a lot of the pastors say, well, we're not going to call off Wednesday night because some of our people don't come. You look up here at me. Some of my people don't come to church, bless God, when we don't call it off. Just come on anyhow. And I really appreciate the churches represented here tonight. In fact, the matter, outside of Brother Bud, we know he's the pastor here. All you other pastors that brought your church over, stand up real quick. I want to get a good gander at you, all right? Over here, brother, tell us about you. Not about your wife, but about you, amen?
Eric Collins, Pastor New Hope Baptist Church.
Amen, right down here.
Jim Jarvis, Pastor Solid Rock Baptist Church.
Amen, and then right here, the general. Amen. Let's give these pastors a good hand for coming over and being with us tonight. Really appreciate that. We're not in competition. We'll labor us together with God. We don't have a Christian radio station in our county. We don't have a camp meeting in our county. We don't have the pastors, the camaraderie, the fellowship among the people of God. We don't have that where I live. I live in a place where You just dog eat dog, get it on the best way you can. And God has blessed you folks with something like this.
Amen.
And treasure that, treasure that. There are people all over the country would love to have a meeting like this, and they don't have one. And God's let you have one, so praise God, keep her going. Amen. And let's let the world know that all independent Baptist preachers, glory to God, don't hate one another. And you can get two Baptists in the same room and not break out in a fight, praise God. We're laborers together with God. And you say, well, some people don't do things the way I do it. That's why we're independent. Praise God. But we agree on enough, thank God, to fellowship together. How many believe Jesus is the Son of God tonight? You believe he was born of a virgin tonight? You believe he lived a sinless life? You believe he died. You believe he arose again. You believe he's alive right now. You believe he's coming back again. You believe this is the infallible word of God. Praise God. We're in agreement tonight. And I'm glad we can fellowship together. I appreciate Brother Harold coming up from Georgia. I've got some more Georgia people here tonight. And boy, there'll be proof to you that everybody in Georgia ain't dumb. Say amen right there. Psalm 25 in your Bible tonight. Begin reading in verse 6 and verse 7. And there's a little word found in these verses I want to lift out and develop some thoughts on tonight. Psalm 25 and verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Does anybody want to say amen to that one? You say, well, I don't have anything in my life that I'm embarrassed about. Really? Hallelujah. God bless you. Pray for the rest of us. Man, the psalmist says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. But notice what he says, according to thy mercy. Here's my text, underline this. Remember thou me. But according to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And I'm interested tonight in that little phrase in the last part of verse number 7. Remember thou me. And I want to preach tonight for a while on this subject, on a God who will remember. Aren't you glad tonight that God has not forgot about us? I'm glad God has not forsaken us. And I'm glad in the midst of tribulation, he is a God who will remember. Now, the word remember in this text, does it mean that God has to stop and recollect a thought process? No, that's not what it means at all. In fact, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has never occurred to God? He's never had to be taught. He's never had to be disciplined. He's never had to learn. In fact, he has inherent knowledge. In fact, he knows the end before the beginning ever gets cranked up. He doesn't work by afterthought. He doesn't work by accident. And he doesn't slip and fall and have to repent. He is a sovereign God. He is a faithful God. He is an omniscient God. And he is a God who has not forgot about you and I. The word remember in this text means to think upon, to look upon, to respond to one in favor, in love, in mercy, and in grace. Aren't you glad we serve a God tonight that thinks upon us, who looks upon us, who responds to us in mercy and grace? We use that word remember in that light all the time. I seen a young fellow the other day driving a new vehicle. And I mean, man, that thing was beautiful. I think what was so beautiful about it, praise God, it was a Chevrolet. Amen. Now, if it had been a Dodge or an old Ford, I wouldn't have said much about it. By the way, did you know Dodge and Ford is mentioned in the Bible? Yes, sir. Every creeping thing upon the face of the earth. But this was a beautiful Chevrolet. And I said to this young man, I said, man, that is a beautiful car. He said to me, he said, my father passed away not long ago, and he remembered me in his will. He said, my father remembered me in the estate. Now, does that mean on the deathbed, that father said, wait a minute, I've just remembered. I got a son, and I need to do something for him. That's not what that means. That means that father favored that boy. He thought about that boy. He looked upon that boy. And he gave that boy what he did not deserve. That young man didn't buy that car. He didn't purchase that car. He didn't merit that car. He didn't deserve that car. He didn't earn that car. He got that favor because he was born into the right family. I'm glad we serve a God tonight. You hear me well. We cannot buy his blessings. We cannot merit his blessing. We cannot earn his blessings. We do not deserve his blessing. But he thinks upon us. He looks upon us. He favors us. He responds to us in mercy and grace when we least deserve it. I want to tell you, beloved, tonight, your family may forget about you. Your friends may forget about you. And the world may forget about you, but I'm glad in the glory world there is a God. He thinks about us. He looks upon us. He is a God who will remember. I'm glad God has not forgot about us. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and God remembered Noah and his family has just come through the flood. But God did not forget about him. God didn't lose that vessel amidst the chaos of that antediluvian judgment. God remembered that precious seed that was on the inside of that ark. Now I want to say this tonight, that God will not forget those who are weary from the storms of life. You may be going through a storm. There may be a malady or an affliction that's ravishing your life. And sometimes in the midst of our trouble, as Brother Alton said a while ago, in the midst of our failures and all the things that's happened in our life, the devil will come by and say, well, God's forgot about you. God doesn't love you. God's written you off. But aren't you glad no matter which way the winds are blowing and how hot the lightning is and how loud the thunder is and how blinding the fog is, there is a God in the glory world, and his eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on the saint, and he will not forget those who are weary from the storms of life. And God remembered Noah. In fact, I believe tonight God was with Noah before and during and after this storm. And you say, well, I don't have any problem believing the Lord was with him during it. But why do you say he was with him before? Because I'm telling you, before the storm ever came, when Noah got through building that boat just like God said, and God waited those days of extended mercy, and God initiated the first invitation. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. You say, what's this between going and a coming? That depends on who's on the inside initiating the invitation. Man, at the end of this meeting, if you would go to Hampton, Georgia with me, and we walked up to my house at the same time, and we both were on the outside, and we walked up to my house at the same time, I'd be a good host. And I'd open the door and I'd say, go in. But if I'm already home when you get there, and I'm already on the inside and you're on the outside, I'm not going to open the door and say, go in. If I'm already on the inside, I'm going to say, come in. That means step out of your world and into my world. God said, Noah, I'm already on board. I'm already on the inside. Step out of your world into my world. Noah's world was going to hell in the antediluvian judgment. But God said, in here where I'm at, there's safety, there's deliverance, and there's peace. Thank God. You remember that night when the Holy Ghost initiated an invitation and God said, come, step out of your world into God's world. And aren't you glad for that night when God gave you enough faith to step out of your condemned world into God's saved world? And though one of the songwriters said, I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me. Come thou into the ark. Get in here where I'm at. Friend of mine the other day had a day off. First day he'd had off in months. And man, he lives in a house where they got a tin roof. And he said, boy, it was just a raining, making melody on that tin roof. And he said, man, I was a snoozing. He said, about 9 o'clock, the doorbell rang. And he said, I thought, who in the world would wake me up on the only day I've had off in months? And he said, I got out of bed and went to the door, opened it, and there stood my mother-in-law, just drenched in rain. And I said, what'd you say? I said, I told her, just don't stand there and go home. Oh, I'm sure glad that night. Amen. When God knocked at your door, aren't you glad you didn't tell him to go home? You told him to come in your heart. And that night when you stood at God's door, I'm the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, being inside of the ark didn't keep it from raining. It didn't keep it from lightning. It didn't keep it from thundering. It didn't keep the storm from coming. But being on the inside, it kept them safe till the storm passes by. Aren't you glad we've got somebody that's a shelter in the time of storm? He's a refuge in the day of trouble. And I'm telling you, God has not forgot about you and I. And when Noah walked up the gangplank of grace and got him there where God was, listen to this, the King James Bible said, and the Lord shut him in. You say, who shut that door on that ark? Same one that opened up them Red Seas for Moses. Who shut that door on that ark? Same one knocked them walls down for Joshua. Who shut that door? The same one that padlocked them jaws on them lions for Brother Daniel. Who was it, preacher, that shut that door? The same one that rolled the stone away and got up and said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Noah didn't shut that door. His wife didn't shut that door. His boys nor their wives. God reached down and shut that door. You say, what's so great about that? Have you not read the book of the Revelation when it says when God shuts a door, no man can open it? You say, well, now I'll tell you right now, preacher, that boat might spring a leak. God took care of that too, because he pitched it within and without with pitch. You see, that water represents the judgment of God. And the only way for the judgment of God to get in there where Noah was, it had to seep through the pitch. And because of that wall of pitch, Noah couldn't get to the flood, and the flood couldn't get to Noah. Isn't it amazing that that Hebrew word pitch is a Greek word, atonement. And a derivative of the word atonement is another word in our English Bible, propitiation, judgment proof. You see, hell and destruction and judgment was on the outside, but life and peace and joy was on the inside. And the only difference between the outside and the inside was a wall of pitch between Noah and the storm and Noah and the flood. There was a wall of propitiation. Honey, aren't you glad tonight between you and the storm and the world and the flesh and affliction is the precious atoning propitiating blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not on the outside hanging on. I'm on the inside looking up, and God remembered Noah. And when that ark came to rest on the other side of that storm, it didn't come to rest in a valley low. It didn't come to rest on a raging sea. It didn't come to rest in the midst of a battlefield. The Bible said when that ark came to rest, it came to rest high. Not low, but high. High on the mountains of Ararat. Now, I ain't talking about that Ararat up here next to Mount Airy on Highway 52 and Highway 8. I mean the mountains of Ararat in the Bible land. You'll never believe what the Hebrew word Ararat means. It means resurrection ground, exalted place. Let me say it like this. When they stepped out of that ark on the other side of that storm, they were walking higher than they'd ever been. God put that boat on exalted ground. That ark goes down into the deep. That ark reels and rocks on the deep. But son, when the clouds roll back and the sun shines again, that ark is higher than it's ever been. And let me say, I got some good news for you tonight. That storm in your life, that affliction in your life, it's not going to defeat you. It's not going to destroy you. On the other side of that storm, you'll be higher than you've ever been before. Son, I saw this the other day. And I about turned into a holiness preacher just for a little while. How in the world did they... Now, you Bible scholars that are here tonight that knows all about the Bible, you could tell us how long that ark was, how wide that ark was, how high that ark was. And I got some friends of mine that are so smart, you give them a computer, they can figure up everything. And I got a friend of mine even thinks he knows how much it weighed. Let me tell you what I believe. It was a big one. Yeah, it was a bigger one. Man, that ark was big. I mean, it had to be big enough to get an elephant on it. It had to be big enough to get a giraffe on it. Not just one, but two. And I mean, that was a pretty large object. And how in the world do you get something as big and heavy as an ark stuck high on a mountaintop? There were no hydraulic lifts. Listen to this. Al Gore hadn't even invented the internet yet. I mean, how, you'll get that after a while. I mean, how in the world are you going to get something as big and heavy as an ark stuck on top of a mountain? It's easy to see the storm put it up there. I've got wrote down on my outline, run right here. This is a good place to run. That storm put it up there. That very thing they thought would be their destruction was nothing more than a puppet in the hand of a sovereign God to put that boat higher than it's ever been. I'm telling you, that storm in your life, that trouble in your church, that sickness in your body, it's not going to defeat you. It's not going to destroy you. It's nothing more than a puppet in the hands of a sovereign God to take his child to a level they've never been before. Hallelujah. I've been going to church all my life. In fact, I went to church 9 months before I was born. We never got up and discussed. Man, can you imagine getting up, eating breakfast, saying, Mom, we going to church. Pop! You'd have got slapped so hard, glory to God, you thought the Liberty Bell cracked again. Amen. And all my life I've heard preachers preach about, you can go through a storm. You can go through a trouble. You can go through affliction. Your family, your body, your life, your church, and be better and stronger and closer to God than you were than when you went in. To be honest with you, I didn't believe a word of it. I thought they were just trying to have something super special, super spiritual to say. I thought they were just trying to get the crowd excited. Because I tell you, I'm a country boy. 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 plus 4 is 8, and 8 plus 8 is 16, and 16 and 16 is it's a whole lot. And in my country boy mind, I'm telling that preacher, you're stupid. There is no way I can go through a subtraction and wind up with a multiplication. But you see, I didn't understand who was the bookkeeper. I just couldn't see how the church I was pastoring could go through any type of loss and wind up with a gain. I didn't believe a word of it. You know why I didn't believe a word of it? I'd never been through nothing. Oh, but now, I am a believer. I am a believer, 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 believer. Through experience, I now know you can go through a subtraction. And before it's over, baby, you got you a multiplication. You know why? Because God, hallelujah, I feel like preaching right there, does not forget those who are weary from the storm. God has not forgot about you. I've been pastoring at church now 22 years. And you say, well, that's not a long time. It is when you ain't but 44. I told him the other day, I said, y'all have got the best half of my life. It's downhill after this. And whatever idiot that said life begins at 40, bless God, ain't never turned it. Let me tell you what begins at 40. Maintenance. Creams and lotions and liniment. And I'm falling for all these schemes on TV. Take this for energy. Take this for your teeth. I even bought some stuff for my hair from a bald-headed man. I mean, you know you're desperate when you want your hair back so bad, bless God, you'll buy tonic from a bald-headed man. Hello. I've been at that church 20 years at that time, and we'd been through, you know, just a little something, you know, personality clashes, a little bitty stupid stuff. We'd never been through anything major. And so now all of a sudden one day, as Fred does on TV, honey, it was a big one. Don't you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You ain't that spiritual. The big one hit. And I thought, oh, God. I don't know if I got comfortable in my little zone. I don't know if I thought that, you know, because I preached against sin and preached hard, and, you know, the devil couldn't get in our church because I kept all the devils run off. It's going to take a little more preaching than I do to keep them run off. And you too, buddy. Say amen. One guy said, bless God. I preach on sin in my church. And I don't have any in it. You're stupid. I don't care how hard you preach, buddy. As long as you're the pastor, you're going to have imperfection in it. Oh, hello. And son, it hit. And if I've ever doubted what our church was made of, I should never doubt again, because it shook us to the foundation. I had to do something that I've never done in all the years I've been there. I had to church an entire family. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When a man of God comes to you and says, you got a problem, and you need to do something about it, and you're not willing to do something about it, and you continue in your rebellion, something got to give. It was rough. It shook our church to the foundation. People began to try to choose sides, pit one against the other. And I'm telling you, if I hadn't had a group of people that loved me and loved my family and believed God and believed in me, I would not be there tonight. I mean, the big one came. And I thought, now, Lord, I guess this is your sign that I need to leave. And can I tell you, Pastor, something? If you take it as a sign from God, you need to leave your church. Every time you have trouble, you're going to keep you all busy. Hello? The last time I checked, it cost about $3,500 to move a preacher's furniture and less than 40 cents to move somebody's letter. Can I get a witness right there? Now you just figure that up every how you want to. And I mean, it was rough. I said, Lord, I guess this is your sign that I'm done. But I never could get the go sign from God to go anywhere. What was so amazing, before this storm hit, I turned down four churches. One, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. When they told me how much my starting pay was going to be, I like to have a big one. I told my wife, and she said, I'll pack while you pray. God wouldn't turn me loose. Brother Dr. John, in my heart, Holy Ghost just kept saying, stay with the ship, stay with the ship, stay with the ship, stay with the ship. And I turned down them four churches and that real good one. And bless God, then the storm hit. And then the devil came by and said, see, you missed the will of God. Then I had to go through all of that for months. See, God sent you a good church. You turned that one down. Now this one's going to kill you. And laying up in that hospital, I thought he was right. It put me in the hospital. And I'm telling you, buddy, it was on. I said, oh, God, I've missed the will of God. My youngest is going to turn out to be drunks. My wife's going to leave me. I mean, the devil told me everything. I said, the church is going under. I said, this is it. I've had it. I'm going to be the laughing stock of fundamentalism. They're going to put articles about me and the sword of the Lord on how to ruin a good church. Devil liked to drove me crazy. All of a sudden one day the lightning quit flashing and the thunder quit rolling and the wind quit blowing. Hallelujah. Woo! And the flood water subsided. Bless God, the fog disappeared and the sun came over the horizon. And I almost had to pinch myself to realize, was it really me? Before this storm hit, we had 180. After this storm hit, we're knocking on the door of 400. That ain't bad. Before this storm hit, we had a building and 2 acres of land that would seat 250 people. After this storm hit, we had 15 acres, 52,000 square feet of facility, and in debt $1 million. Amen. I want to tell you, before this storm, I'll tell you, I still can't get over it. I don't understand it. I thought, oh God, this is it. It's going to be our destruction. We'll never make it from this. I've had it. I'm done. And to God be the glory. We're in the best shape we've ever been, doing things I never dreamed we could do, except pay for that $1 million. And I'm just telling you, brother, I want to tell you, God reminded me, son, when you was, woo, when you was in that valley, I didn't forget you. When you was in that storm, I didn't abandon you. When you was going through the fog and you couldn't find me, I still had my eyes on you. I'm telling you, there's a God tonight that occupies the glory world. He'll not abandon you. He'll not forsake you. He'll not forget about those. He'll not forget those who are weary from the storm. Son, on the other side of that storm, the clouds roll back. Woo! And in come that dove with the olive branch in his mouth. And he fluttered on Noah and said, sweet peace. Well, glory. He walked out of that ark, and from cloud to cloud, God, woo, had put a rainbow in the sky. Steadfast promises. And then Noah said, young'uns, I'll tell you what we need to do. Hallelujah. We need to, can you tell I'm enjoying this? We need to build us an altar and give God some praise and give God thanks because he didn't forget about us. Oh, he didn't forget about us, young'uns. You say, preacher, how come God kept up so good with that boat and all of that flood? God had some radar. He had a GPS system. He had a grace positioning system. Brother, he didn't misplace that ark. He knew where it was all the time. I'm telling you, Mother, God ain't forgot about you. I know you youngins have broke your heart and embarrassed your life. And sometimes you don't know which way to turn. And sometimes, Dad, you don't understand. And young person, you don't understand. And the devil says, God doesn't care. Preacher, the devil will tell you, God doesn't care. He'll tell you out of the will of God and get you to leave your church out of the will of God. But you listen to this country boy tonight. There is a God that occupies the glory world. He thinks upon us. He looks upon us. Thank God, he favors us. He will not forget those who are weary from the storm. God has not forgot about you. He remembers those who are weary from the storm. I got to hurry, number two. Psalm 78. And God remembered that they were but flesh. Son, I'm glad he remembers those who are weakened by the flesh. You know what Psalm 78 is? It's a psalm of remembrance. They're going down memory lane and they're remembering that 40-year wilderness journey from the time they left Egypt to they crossed over into the promised land. Brother Arthur, as they look back over that 40 years, they were reminded they failed God. In fact, they must have been Baptists because they griped, bellyached, whined, and complained. They must have been independent Baptists because the Bible said they limited God, spake against God. I mean, gripe, whine, and time out. If the Lord ever lets me start another church, you know what I'm going to name it? Complaining Baptist Church. And instead of getting me a deacon board and a choir, the first committee I'm going to form is the pity committee. And while they're over there passing out the pacifiers for the whiners, I'm going to study and preach and pray. You know what the average pastor has to spend most of his time doing? Oh, honey. Oh, darling. Please. So now I want to just run me a good rabbit right here. Bless God, if you ain't got enough God to get you out of bed, get you to church on Sunday, you ain't going to have enough to get you out of the grave when Jesus comes. Brother Bobby, how long you been saved? 46 years. I wasn't even born when you got saved. Moby Dick was still a minor when you got saved. I don't think in 47 years nobody's had to come. Oh, Bobby, come on now, Bobby. Come on, Bobby. You know we... No, there's been something in you that's got a hold of the reins. I want to give you, pastor, some good advice tonight. Quit all that petting. Quit all that babysitting. And get you a text. And get along with God somewhere. And rear back and preach. And if God ever gets a hold of them, and God ever gets them to give it into their soul, it'll make your job a lot easier. And you go back to preaching and quit babysitting. Somebody say amen right there. Son, that Tammy's hot dog I had's got me stirred up tonight. Yeah. Boy, they griped and whined and bellyached. But you know what I find in Psalm 78 God did? He still fed them. He still gave them water. Woo! He still put clothes on their back. He still forgave them of their iniquity. You say, preacher, I don't understand how God can put up with people like that. I'm trying to tell you, he remembered. I got one better than that. You don't understand why God, how God puts up with people like that? I don't understand how he puts up with you and me. You say, but no, you wait a minute, Brother Joe. You just don't know how spiritual I am. I sure don't. But I know how fleshly we all are. Preacher called me up one time criticizing another preacher. I hate that. He said, I'm telling you right now, that brother has got a flesh problem. I said, really? I said, guess what, Charles? You do too. Just nod your little head at me. You know I'm telling it right. Oh, preacher, I'm a fundamental. You got a flesh problem. And I've been saved 40 years. You got a flesh problem. And I'm an independent Baptist. I know you got a flesh problem. We all have a flesh problem. And if God dealt with you and I on the basis of what we deserve, we'd never be blessed. Now, he doesn't excuse our unfaithfulness. He doesn't wink at our sin. God chastens us and God deals with us. But my God, he still remembers that we're just flesh. You know what Psalm 78 shows me? I love this. The meaner they got, the better God got. The more unfaithful they got, the more faithful God got. The more mean they got, the sweeter God got. They forgot about God, but God didn't forget about him. What are you driving at, preacher? This is what I'm driving at. On our best day, at our highest point, at our most mature level as a Christian, we still fall, we still fail. But he doesn't throw the clay away, and he doesn't write us off, and he doesn't kick us out of the family. He remembers we're but flesh, and he blesses us anyhow. Can I run a good rabbit right here? I preach a lot of Bible conferences now and not a lot of many camp meetings anymore. And I go a lot of places. There are two or three other preachers there besides me. And boy, you know what's dawned on me. Oh, you know what's dawned on me. I have preached with the greatest preachers in America. You know how I know? They told me they were. And by the time they got through bragging on them and their families, bless God, their socks don't even stink after a month. I said to Billy Caleb one night before he died, I said, Brother Billy, the way some of these people preach, they act like they're so holy, they don't even kiss their wife. He said, that crowd don't, bless God, they wind up kissing on somebody else's wife. Somebody say amen right there now. I was in a meeting a while back, and they preached against TV, and at the end of the meeting sold videos of the services. What are you supposed to watch them on? Get up and preach against cable and satellite and hooked up to the internet. Hello. I was at a meeting a while back and they preached against everything. I mean, son, they preached against, I mean, you name it, they preached against it. They had convictions Paul didn't even have. Woman cut her hair off. She wasn't right with God. She didn't breastfeed her baby. She wasn't right with God. And if she had a job and work, she was a Jezebel. If a feller went deer hunting, he was lost. Boy, I got under conviction. I'll tell you that right now. If you listen to Southern gospel music, he wasn't full of the whole on all that. One of the guys making such a big stir, I went down to the corner store below the camp meeting to get me some gas and a pack of chewing gum, and he had three bounce checks posted on the wall. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you think it's wrong for a woman to take birth control pills, bless God, it's wrong for a preacher to bounce checks all over the county. Ain't we having fun tonight? Boy, they get up there and they brag on their church and brag on their family and brag on their ministry. And I'm wondering, oh God, somebody needs to tell somebody, it ain't about us, it ain't about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. At our best day, we're flesh. At our highest moment, we're flesh. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be blessed. But in spite of ourself, in spite of our fault, in spite of our failure, he still loves us. Somebody said, I'll tell you right now, glory to God, hallelujah. I've been faithful and God's been blessing me. God's been blessing you not because you're faithful. God's been blessing you because he's faithful. Woo! Oh, dear, glory to God, I've been living right. And I got the blessings of God on my life because I've been living right. If you got the blessings of God on your life, it's because he's right. It's not my goodness. It's not my merits. It's not my faithfulness. Glory to God, look up yonder. Way up yonder in the glory world. Hallelujah, there's a Savior. Glory to God. He may not be Lord in your life, but He's Lord in heaven. Amen. He's Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the King. He's the Lord. He deserves the glory. It's not us. It's Him. We're but flesh, but He loves us anyhow. If God only blessed you and I when we deserve it, we'd be in trouble. I heard a man say one time, he said, I've been saved for over 40 years, and there ain't been 3 seconds my mind hadn't been on Jesus Christ. Woo! You know what a friend of mine had so much nerve to do? Walked up to him and said, well, you got 2 kids. Bless God, I know that's 2 seconds your mind wasn't on Jesus. Say amen right there. You said your friend ought not to have said that. No, that preacher ought not have been so stupid to say that. Now, I was in a meeting not long ago getting ready to preach, minding my own business, and the guy before me got up, he said, I'll tell you right now, I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. Well, we knew that. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, and I don't have the biggest. I hate that. I don't have this. I'll shut up. Everybody knows you can't. If you can't, just be quiet. And finally, he said this. He said, I'll tell you one thing right now, buddy. You can examine me, and you'll not find a more cleaner man than me. I thought, oh, glory to God. I'm so thrilled to be in your presence. Bump elbows with me, baby. Come on. I want to tell you, God is displeased with all of that mess. I'm not to get behind this pulpit and tell you how great I am. I'm to get behind this pulpit and tell you there's a Savior and His name is Jesus. And He's great and He's wonderful and He's God. And He's the one that's worthy. Not us, it's Him. We're flesh, but He loves us anyhow. You said, glory to God, I prayed all night and God bless me. Wonderful. But there's been some nights I didn't pray. And He blessed me anyhow. Woo! You said, I've read 5 chapters in the Word of God today and God's blessed me. Good. There's been some days I didn't read 1 verse. But He blessed me anyhow. Hello! You said, don't you think we ought to pray? Yeah, boy. Don't you think we ought to read the Bible? Yeah, boy. But at our best praying and our best Bible reading, it's still Him and it's not us. Yeah. You pastors know what I mean. You're in your study on a Saturday night. And boy, you're getting this message. And son, that thing starts coming together. Man, and you're thinking, son, this right here is a masterpiece. Buddy, they won't be able to take it. They will be swinging from the ceiling. If you swing from the ceiling in here, you better know God. Because them little gold things up there ain't going to hold you up. Man, you just had, Lord God, when I preach this, the earth's going to shake. When I preach this, they'll be getting saved by the hundreds, and you ain't got but 50 in church. Buddy, when I get through preaching this, bless God, they're going to call me R.G. Lee Jr. That's going to be better than payday someday. Bless God, they'll call me Billy Sunday the 4th. Man, when I get through preaching this, man, I'll have so many people in the altar. I'll have to have 25 altar. I can hardly wait. And from the study Saturday night to the pulpit Sunday morning, I don't mean you struck out. I mean you laid an egg. A rotten. It was so bad, bless God, your wife agreed that you done bad. Let me say to you, pastor's wives, let me tell you, that bird, all it wants you to do is brag on him. And when he gets in the car and says, honey, I didn't do good, did I? He don't want you to be honest. He wants you to say, oh, baby, oh, it was great. You say, suppose I have to stretch it. God will forgive you. We preach grace around here. Say amen. Son, I preached one so bad the other day. I said to my wife, I said, how was it? She said, well, it wasn't one of your best ones. I can tell you that right now. Man, I got so tore up the other day trying to preach. Listen, I had Zacchaeus in the hog pen. I did. I had Daniel up a sycamore tree. And I never did get Lazarus out of the grave. And finally, I just said, okay, stand to your head and close your feet. Bow your hands. I'm through preaching. Terrible. It was so bad that I called on somebody to pray, and while they had their head bowed, I slept out the back and went home and left my wife there to shake her hand. That was a bad idea, because when she got home, she got mad. I said, bless God, next time you preach that bad, I'm leaving before you do. And there's no feeling in the world like bombing out. You singers have done it. I've heard y'all bomb out. I know you've done it. Woo! There's nothing like feeling like you just made a failure. Man, you're so sick to your stomach, you can't eat your lunch. And for some of y'all lose y'all's appetite, boy, you depressed. And all day long, son, I'm tearing your tater patch up. I can tell by the way your wife is looking. She's saying, let him have it, let him have it, let him have it. I love to preach to pray. Sir, your wife's about to shout. God bless you, hon. May the Lord bless you as you bear your burden. Say amen right there. Miss Russell, am I telling the truth tonight? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Appreciate that. I would ask my wife's mother what she thinks, but she lies all the time anyhow. But anyway, here we go. You're sitting there all day long and you're dreading going back that night because you're afraid it's going to be worse. And you're thinking, oh, Lord. And finally, about 4 o'clock at dawn, so you got to go back. You the pastor. They pay you to go back. Well, you go by your office and you think, well, I studied all week on that one. That didn't have nothing. I'll just grab me a verse and go with it. And so you get up in the pulpit and you think, well, this ain't going to last long. I ain't got no outline. I ain't got no points. I just got a verse and we'll read it and we'll go home. And son, you just walk up there, open that Bible and go to reading that verse. And glory to God. And about that time, bless God, the window opens. And a breeze begins to blow. Young preachers, listen to me. And God, amen. Hallelujah. And God lifts you out of yourself. God takes you beyond yourself. God lets you preach in a land and in a world that you ain't never been in. And about 15 minutes, you back off and go, that's good, even if I am doing it. And about that time, the Holy Ghost said, it ain't you, son. It's me. I showed you what you could do this morning. I'm showing you tonight what I can do for you if you will let me. You say, preacher, what is that? That's just God reminding us at our best. We're just flesh. And if we do good, if we succeed, if we accomplish anything, let God be the praise and let God be the glory and God be the honor. He remembers and in spite of us, he blesses us anyhow. He remembers those who are weary from the storm. He remembers those who are weakened by the flesh. Last night, I want to go to Luke chapter number 23. You know where you are when you come to Luke 23? Praise God, you're at Calvary. You know why I like to go to Calvary? Because that's where man's at his worst. But God is at his best. At Calvary is where the ground is level. At Calvary is where the prince and the pauper stands on the same playing field. And as I approach Calvary, I see three crosses. Praise God, I preached up a storm tonight. Let it rain. And as I approach Calvary, I see three crosses. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't know who that is on the left. And I don't know who that is on the right. But praise God, that one in the middle. Hallelujah. I know who he is. You say, how do you know? You know the one in the middle. Because he's in his rightful place. He's in the midst. That's always where he's been. And in glory as the Lamb of God, he's still in the midst of the throne of God. And real quickly on this side of the cross, I hear a thief. The King James Bible uses this term. It says, he railed on him. That means he disrespected him. He cursed him. and said something like this. If, no if about it, he was and still is. But he says, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. And I want to remind you, he was not interested if he was the Christ or not. He just wanted his hide saved from being crucified. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us. Oh, but praise God, on the other side of the cross, that other thief looked over that other thief and said, hey, don't you fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation? Don't you realize, man, that you and I are receiving the just rewards of our deeds? But then he points over to Jesus and said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And so about that time, that old thief pulls up and he looks over there at Jesus. And he gets his attention with one word, Lord. Let me run me a little rabbit. You talk about something despicable when a few little knothead Baptists want to argue over the fact whether Jesus is Lord or not. Why don't you argue about something that ain't been settled? That's already been settled. The Bible said God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. He's the Lord and he always will be the Lord. Lord. And watch what he says. Remember me. He don't say pull me off the cross. He doesn't say pull these nails out. He just says think upon me. Respond to me. Favor me. Look upon me. Oh, my soul, you remember that night when the Holy Ghost helped you realize you was a sinner in one breath from hell and you cried to Calvary, Lord, remember me. And son, not only do I love what Jesus says, I love what he don't say. He didn't say, you old stinking thief, you had your chance. By your own admission, you admitted you're getting what you deserve. Forget it. No, he didn't say that. You know something else he didn't say? He didn't call him a thief. He didn't even bring up anything criminal he had ever done in his life. Jesus just said, today. This thief over here is saying, remember me when? Sometime out in the future, whenever it happens, Lord, I want to get in on it. But Jesus said, we're not going to do that when. We're going to take care of that today. And you know why Jesus said today? Because today is the day of salvation. And now is the accepted time. This thief over here, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, glory. Can I lay something big on you tonight? You're not going to ask somebody to remember you when they come into their kingdom if you don't believe they got one. And if you got enough faith to believe they got a kingdom, then you got to have enough sense to believe they are a king. Woo! He said, I know you're the king. And I know you got a kingdom. And in a little while, you're going to come into it. And when you do, think upon me. Look upon me. Remember me. Jesus said, today. He didn't say repent and be baptized. Hello. He didn't say go join a Baptist church. No. He didn't say go to the Pope and be confirmed. No. He didn't say pull one nail out and I'll pull the other nail out. He said today. Thou, you boy, shout. Sure enough, be with me in paradise. I'm wanting to say something before I run. The best thing about it was that he didn't get to go to paradise. The best thing about it was it's who he got to go with. You say, what's better than heaven? Who's going to be there when you get there? Because, brother, wherever Jesus is, that's where heaven is. Hallelujah. That's why if you're saved tonight, bless God, you already got 40 acres of heaven in the gable into your soul. That shall be with me in paradise. I ain't going to argue with you. I'm just going to preach what I believe. I believe Jesus died first. I believe he had to die first so those thieves could die. Because as I told you the other night, you can't die around resurrection. Glory to God, you can't even stay dead around resurrection. So I believe Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost and he died. You go down to the Baptist bookstore and buy a book by William Barclay and he says Jesus passed out and he really didn't die and the coolness of that tomb woke him up. If you believe that, if he believed that, you and him both would die without God and go to hell. Amen. He died physically. And I believe when he died, I believe that thief that railed on him and rejected him, I believe he died and woke up in hell, the same place the rich man still is tonight, and they both are still there. You talking about being too close, but yet so far. He died right beside of the payment for our sin and never knew the joy of Christ's salvation. But bless God on this other side, where the thief had cried, Remember me! Son, I believe that old thief took his last breath. And son, I believe when he opened his eyes, I believe he done something like this. Wow. Oh my, oh my, oh my. This sure does beat that prison cell I've been in. It sure does beat hanging on that cross condemned to die. And I believe that thief looked over and saw the Lord in his glorified form and said, Well, glory, Jesus. You're beautiful. You sure do look different without that cross on your back and that crown of thorns on your head. And I believe Jesus holds out his hand and said, Come on, boy. I said, You's going to be with me in paradise. Let's take a little stroll. I believe hand in hand with Jesus, that old thief walks down Main Street Paradise. Jesus starts introducing him to some of the family he's never met before. Hallelujah. I believe he goes by and says, Thief, that's so Abraham and Sarah. By the way, y'all wake up from sleep. We're going home in a little while. I believe he introduced him to Brother Noah and said, That's Noah, how'd he enjoy his boat ride? I believe they went down there and said, Look, John the Baptist, don't he look good with his new head? About that time somebody says, Hey, I remember you. You're that old thief that was on death row. Yeah, you was one of them old thieves condemned to die. I don't understand how did somebody rotten and low down like you ever wind up in a wonderful place like this. I believe that thief would just point to Jesus and say, He remembered me. Woo! I believe we're going to know each other when we get to heaven. And I won't see some of you Yakin County rednecks. And I won't say, Hey, Gary Wagner, how'd an old sinner like you ever wind up in a place like this? And 6'4", 94 is going to stand 10 foot tall in heaven and say, He remembered me. Preacher, how did you make it? Sister, how did you make it? He remembered me. I'll be there. Hallelujah. Because the Lord, He remembered me. He remembers those who are weary from the storm. He remembers those who are weakened by the flesh. And He remembers those that are wicked and weeping over their sin. He is a God who will remember. If you don't think the old rugged cross makes the difference, 1 second, one breath, one more heartbeat, that thief is in hell with that other one. But the next second, the next breath, he's hand in hand with Jesus in paradise. I want to tell you, God will not forget. How about us? We're standing all over the building. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And I don't know the need of lives and hearts in this place. But I do know you laid this message upon our heart. And Lord, I feel like tonight there's some child of God going through a storm. They're going through a time of hardships. Help them to be reminded you've not forgot about them. Lord, there may be somebody in this room tonight that's had their flesh to fail in the battle. Help them realize tonight, Lord, You've not forgot about them. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's never been saved. They don't know God. God, they feel like nobody cares, nobody thinks about them. Lord, if they'll cry like that old thief, Lord, remember me, you'll remember them tonight. And you'll do for them what they can't do for themselves. God, help us in this hour to look to thee and be reminded that you've not forgot us. We love you tonight and give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. We're standing all over the building tonight, and I don't know what you need.
The message you have just heard was preached by Joe Arthur from Atlanta, Georgia. The message title is A God Who Will Remember. Once again, the message title, A God Who Will Remember. We certainly appreciate you listening and hope this message was a real blessing to you.